Here is your RTC Weekly Download, featuring OTR selections from the Radio Theater Channel. Available online with our live stream at oldtimeradiolisten.com.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Radio Theater Channel's Weekly Download. For those of you who live in the States, happy Thanksgiving. And for those of you outside, well, we're going to introduce you to Turkey Day with three comedies. Jack Benny is among them, also Mel Blanc and Abbott and Costello. So let's start off with Abbott and Costello and the formal Thanksgiving Day party. This is from 1943.
C-A-M-E-L-S. The Abbott and Costello program, brought to you by Camel, the cigarette that's first in the service according to actual sales records. See if your throat and your taste don't make Camel a first with you, too. Find out for yourself. Listen to the great rhythms of Freddie Rich and his orchestra, the swingy singing of Connie Haynes. And this being Thanksgiving Day, we recall this touching scene. As the good ship Mayflower landed at Plymouth Rock, the captain shouted to the Indian chief,
Costello, do you realize it's 7 o'clock? Where have you been?
Oh, Abbott, I just came from your house. And have I got news for you?
What is it?
Your cat just had chicken.
My cat had chicken.
Yep.
My cat had chicken.
Yep.
You mean kittens. Cats don't have chicken.
What was that you brought home in a paper bag last night?
Chickens.
Well, your cat just had them.
You mean that cat ate my chickens?
He swallowed the chickens, bag and all.
Why didn't you take them away from him?
You know me, Abbott. I ain't the type that would let the bag out of the cat.
Oh,
I read that wrong, huh?
Yes. Well, I've got plenty of other food around the house.
Well, by the way, Abbott.
What?
Being that this is Thanksgiving Day.
Yes.
I hate to think of you eating alone.
What do you mean?
What do you say to having Thanksgiving dinner with me?
Well, why, that's mighty fine of you, Costello.
Good.
At what time?
8 o'clock, at your house.
No. You'll get no turkey at my house.
Then how about a little duck?
A duck?
Yeah, that's a chicken with snowshoes on.
Hey, look. I'm sorry, Costello. You can't come to my house for Thanksgiving. I'm having a dinner for the Snooty set.
Oh, the Snooty set.
You heard me.
No, I'm not good enough to eat with pigs.
No. Will you listen to me, please?
I'm listening.
Tonight I'm entertaining a few of the 400.
A few of the 400?
Yes.
That's 800 altogether.
No. Just the 400.
That's what I said. That's your line.
Yes.
Thank you.
Well,
just because they weigh a little more than me, that don't make them any better than I am.
No, talk sense, please. I couldn't have you at my house. This is going to be a very classy affair. Why, I have a little silver tray to brush the crumbs on.
Crumbs?
Mm-hmm. Certainly, don't you have crumbs at your table?
Sure, Abbott. You're welcome anytime.
No. There you go. You have absolutely no finesse.
No what?
I said you have no finesse.
What would I do with a finesse? In California, you don't need a finesse. If it gets cold, we turn on the gas heater.
All right, Costello. I didn't say...
Or the radiator.
I didn't say...
He's getting like Boyer.
Yeah, all right, look, please. All right. I didn't say furnace in the first place. I said finesse.
Look. You don't know what you're saying.
All right, you're getting me all mixed up here. Look, I'm trying to tell you. Listen to me, please. Your table manners are terrible.
The last time
you had dinner at my house, you did nothing but reach across the table and grab for the food.
Well, what was wrong with that?
What was wrong with that? You've got a tongue, haven't you?
Yeah, but I can reach further with my arm.
There you go again, Costello, you see? You know nothing at all about the proper way to eat. You have no etiquette.
I got no what?
You have no etiquette.
Etiquette?
Yes, you heard me.
You don't even know how to say the word, etiquette.
Yeah.
You dope.
What do you mean?
You mean antiquity.
It's etiquette.
Well, etiquette, antiquity, it's the same thing anyway.
All right, so what?
Well, I'll go out and I'll buy one of them books on etiquette by Emily Piller.
Emily Piller?
Yeah.
That's Emily Post.
Okay, I'll read the both of them.
Both of them?
I'll go from Piller to Post.
Well, you should read that book, Costello. Mm. It will tell you a lot of things. For instance, which is proper to use when eating peas, a fork or a spoon?
I don't use either one.
Well, how do you eat your peas?
Oh, I just slide my lower lip under the plate and bank the peas off the mashed potatoes.
Costello.
Sometimes the mashed potatoes goes in my ears.
Yes, I can imagine.
Sloppy, huh?
Yeah. Costello, you haven't got the brains of a 2-year-old child.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
Why not?
It's Look at the difference in our ages.
The way you act, I could never have you at my table.
Look, Abbott, if you know so much about manners, just answer me this one thing.
What is?
Which hand do you stir your coffee with?
I stir my coffee with my right hand.
That's funny. Most people use a spoon.
That's no laughing matter. That settles it, Costello.
You ain't got no etiquette.
Yeah, that settles everything. I was just about to break down and invite you for dinner. But now you had to be a smart aleck, didn't you?
Wait a minute, Abbott.
Yeah, you did.
Wait a minute.
Now.
You're my old pal.
I can't help it.
You can't do this to me.
Well, I did.
You've got to invite me to dinner on Thanksgiving. I ain't got no place to go.
I'm sorry.
You can't let your old friend starve.
Ah.
Look at me, Abbott. I only weigh 90 pounds now.
90 pounds? Why, you're 56 inches around the waist.
Yeah, but I'm hollow.
All right, look. All right. You can come to dinner, Costello. But you'll have to make yourself useful. Now get there early and wait on the table.
Well, why should I wait on a table? Why can't I wait in a parlor with the rest of the people?
No, you dummy. I want to
sit on your table.
Listen,
waiting.
I mean, I want you to help with the serving. Now, the first course will be hors d'oeuvres. Of course, you know what hors d'oeuvres are.
Yeah, that's French for leftovers.
No. Costello, hors d'oeuvres are snacks. Now, you take care of the ladies first. It's up to you to see that each lady gets a snack.
Are their husbands going to be there?
Certainly.
Then I ain't going to do it.
What? Do what?
I ain't going to go around snacking the ladies. Their husbands are liable to come around and snack me.
On second thought, you'd better stay out in the kitchen and help with the oyster dressing.
Why, Abbott.
What's the matter?
What you said.
Well, what's wrong?
You ought to be ashamed of yourself, talking that way to a boy of my age.
What do you mean?
I'm just at the age of picking things up like
that. Well, what's
too.
Wrong?
Why, it's a good thing my mother isn't here. Oh, the shame of it all.
What are you talking about?
How dare you ask me to help with the oyster dressing?
What do you mean?
Now, look, Abbott. I didn't mind when you said I had to wait for you on a table. And I was only mildly surprised when you asked me to snack all the ladies, especially in front of their husbands. But when you have the nerve to ask me to go out in the kitchen and dress a bunch of naked oysters, you not only humiliate me, but you have impugned on my good name.
Tomorrow on the back cover of Life magazine, you'll see a very stirring set of pictures under the title, Pair of Aces Back to Back. A Navy dauntless dive bomber attacking a Japanese carrier. Notice, too, the pair of flyers, the pair of aces in the lower left-hand corner. And read the words they're saying. I quote, Camel's our cigarette. Suits the throat and the taste to a T. Unquote.
C-A-M-E-L-S.
Camels, they're aces with the aces. Could be with you, too. Here is Freddie Rich with Jabba Junction.
Costello, you have to cut out that singing in the kitchen. You're disturbing the guests.
But Abbott, I always sing when I'm making sour milk biscuits.
Sour milk biscuits?
Sure.
We haven't got any sour milk.
Well, you will have when I get through singing. And Mammy's little baby loves shutting.
All right.
Nelson Eddie better save his money.
All right, look. Cut that out. Look, what are you doing there? What's all that stuff you're putting in there?
How to do it.
What did she
say? First, I got to put in 2 tubs of butter.
Two tubs of butter?
Sure, it says right here in the cookbook. Butter, 2 TBS, tubs.
That's tablespoons.
I threw them in, too.
You threw... What else did you put in there?
I put in some flour, salt, baking powder, and 3 gullops of molasses.
3 gullops? What are gullops?
You know, Abbott, when you pour the molasses out of the jug, it goes gullop, gullop, gullop. I put in 3 of those.
Look, Costello, I don't want you to do any cooking. I've got a chef coming here to take care of that. I thought you'd be out here singeing the feathers off the goose.
Doing what?
Singeing, singeing. Don't you know how to singe?
Sure, I know how to singe. I was singeing when you came in. A man is made up, baby.
No.
I'm a good singer.
No. Singeing gets the down off the goose. Didn't you ever get down off a goose?
No. Did you read that right?
Yeah. Well, didn't you?
Did I ever what?
Didn't you ever get down off a goose?
No, I got down off a horse.
No.
I never rode a goose.
No.
Hey, that was Fickle.
Oh, thank goodness. Here comes the chef.
I am sugar and the cooking guy, my dandy. Ooh, ooh,
ooh. Fickle. Don't tell me that you're the cook.
Could be, yes. You know something over in Paris? I am known as the famous French chef, Pierre René.
You're the great René?
That I am, yes.
And what are you doing in California?
Oh, I always come here in the René season.
The René season?
Yes.
This guy's a washout.
Never mind that, Costello. Look. We've got to get my Thanksgiving dinner cooked, please. Yes. Kitzel, you find all the utensils in that big cupboard over there.
Oh, pish-posh, utensils, utensils. Who needs your utensils? I brought along my own pot.
That's the first pot I ever saw with a belt around.
Costello, please, keep out of this. Kitzel, do you know anything about cooking game?
Do I know how to cook game? Why, I'm cooking the finest pinochle you ever tasted.
You cook pinochle?
Sure, pinochles and sauerkraut.
Oh.
Look, Kitzel, I don't want to get personal, but why don't you pull in your tongue? Nobody ordered cold cuts.
Ooh.
Look, never mind that, Costello. Kitzel, get busy, please, and get the dinner ready.
No. Just a second, my little man. Don't get excited. First, I got to open my little bag and get out my chisels and saws.
What chisels and saws?
Cream chisels and cranberry saws.
You know, Kitzel, it's too bad you didn't bring your monkey wrench.
Well, for goodness sake, what would I be doing with a monkey wrench?
Well, you could tighten the nuts on a fruitcake.
Costello, please. Will you get busy and help Kitzel? I'm going into the living room and see if any of my guests have arrived yet. Sebastian! Shut off that radio. Shut it off. My Sebastian.
Well, I just come over to help you out, Uncle Bud, and I thought the guests would like some nice romantic music.
Romantic music?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that tiger isn't romantic music.
It is to another tiger.
All right. Now, look, Sebastian, if you're going to hang around here, you'll have to behave yourself. Now, this is going to be a very formal Thanksgiving dinner. The men will all wear tails.
Tails? Who's coming? Mickey Mouse?
Now, will you please listen, Sebastian? It will be your job to usher the people into the dining room. I will sit at the head of the table. Ken Niles will sit on my right hand, and Connie Haynes will sit on my left hand.
Ken Niles is going to sit on your right hand?
That's right.
And Connie Haynes will sit on your left hand?
That's right.
How are you going to eat? With your feet?
No. Look, when you get all the people seated, you go to the kitchen. Then when I ring this little dinner bell, your brother will hand me the carving knife, and you give me the bird.
In front of everybody?
That'll do, Sebastian. Now, go out in the kitchen and make some ice water. And I do hope you can make ice water.
Yeah, sure. You just peel an onion.
An onion?
Yeah, that'll make your eyes water.
Sebastian, ice water is frozen water.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Then what is frozen ink?
I stink.
You'll get no argument out of me, brother.
Watch.
Connie Haynes in a current revival of a great song, The Sunny Side of the Street.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worry on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pit-a-pat? And that happy tune is yourself. Life life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the stream. I used to walk in the shade with those blues gone red, but I'm not afraid. This rover crossed over. If I never have a stain, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. No dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on red, but I'm not afraid. This rover, yeah, I crossed over. If I never have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Oh, dust at my feet on the sunny, sunny side of the street.
You have read in the papers how people are smoking so much more and how cigarettes are being shipped to our fighting men overseas in huge quantities. And if your dealer occasionally should say, "Sorry, sir, we're out of Camels today," don't let that stop you from asking for Camels the very next time you're buying cigarettes. Remember that Camels' rich, full flavor and kind, cool mildness make Camels worth asking for again and again. Because war or peace, Camel is still Camel. And your T-zone, that's T for taste and T for throat, will confirm that statement.
C-A-M-E-L-S.
Camels, now as always, the cigarette of costlier tobaccos. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we take you to the home of Bud Abbott, where a formal Thanksgiving dinner is about to be served. Costello has been working in the kitchen all day like a dog, but he is now ready to face the guests. Let us look in on this dog face.
Costello, Costello, the guests are arriving. Open the door and announce them as they come in.
Announcing Mr. and Mrs. Ned Blank, Mr. and Mrs. Phil Klesner. Announcing Lord Pipsqueak, Knight of the Garter, Lord Beaverport, Knight of the Bath, and Hedy Lamarr.
Hedy Lamarr isn't here.
I was thinking of another night.
You men, how dare you leave me standing here? Kindly take my card and announce me.
Okay. Hillside, 2183. Ask for Hazel. If a man answers, hang up.
Oh.
Wrong card! Wrong card!
That isn't my card.
I'm sorry, I got that mixed up with one of my own.
Costello, what's your manners?
Okay.
This is Lady Jennifer Cookie Cutter.
That's my little boy. My home, you know, is at Glendinning on the Tyne.
Glendinning on the Tyne? Then you must know my great-aunt Harriet. The old girl is bowlegged, you know.
Oh, from Glendinning on the Tyne?
No, from hitchhiking on oil trucks.
All right, that's enough, Costello. Take Lady Jennifer's coat and I'll escort her to the table.
Oh, by all means, the table. Oh, I'm so hungry I could eat a horse.
Costello! Costello, get that horse out of here!
Get out of here! Get out of here!
And please, bring Lady Jennifer a cocktail.
Yes, make it a martini with the black olive.
You drink martinis with the black olive?
Yes, I'm in mourning for my husband.
If I was you, Lady Jennifer, I would lay off those martinis. They're pretty hot.
Costello, what makes you think they're hot?
Because I just poured one. When I dropped the olive in, the olive stuck out its pimento.
By the way, Mr. Abbott, I have a little Thanksgiving present for you. A nice, fat Belgian hare. I raised them, you know.
Oh, thank you, Lady Jennifer. Costello, take Lady Jennifer's hair.
Take her what?
Take her hair and put it in the icebox.
Okay, Abbott.
No, you fool!
Hey, Costello, now look what you've done. Speak to Lady Jennifer.
Hello, Baldy.
Oh, I've never been so insulted in all my life.
Come, Lady Jennifer. I'll show you under the table. I'll show you...
Get the line right, not under that table.
No, I'm sorry, Mrs. Jennifer. I'll show you to the table.
Very well. You may take my arm.
Does that come off, too?
Costello, get busy and serve the dinner. And remember, I don't want to see your thumb in the soup.
Okay.
Lord Beaverbrook. Board, I pardon me, Mr. Beaverboard.
It's
quite all right, please. What part of the turkey would you like?
Well, I'm a flyer. I'll take the wing.
And Freddie Rich.
Well, I'm a musician. I'll take the drumstick.
And Sebastian, what part of the turkey would you like?
Well, you can skip me. I'm a dead-end kid.
I hope somebody will remember me. I like the neck.
I like the neck too, Connie. I'll meet you out on the front porch.
Costello, keep quiet and serve the soup. And remember, I don't want to see your thumb in it.
Okay, I'll fix that.
Oh! Somebody turn off the light! Quick, turn on the light, somebody!
There, the lights are on.
Oh!
What's the trouble, Lady Jennifer?
Oh, my necklace is gone! Somebody's stolen my pearl necklace!
Quick, Costello, call the police!
Police!
Wait, no! No, use the French phone.
I don't speak French.
Oh, here. Please, here, I'll call him. Operator, give me the police. Hurry up. Hello, police department. This is Bud Abbott's home. There's been a robbery here. Come over at once.
Well, here we are. We're from headquarters.
What took you so long?
What took you so long?
So long?
What, are you leaving already? Now shut up, you. You look suspicious. Stick up your hands and reach for the ceiling.
Okay, but I know I won't make it.
I have... Officer, there's been a robbery here. The lights went out and somebody stole Lady Jennifer's pearl necklace.
A stolen necklace, eh? Somebody will get the jug for this.
Sounds like you've had it already.
Come on, line up against the wall and you too, Fat Boy. What's your name?
Honest Luke Costello.
Costello, eh? Ain't you got a relative doing time at Alcatraz?
Yes, sir. That's my uncle, Stebbins. They put him in for something he didn't do.
For something he didn't do?
Yeah, he didn't wipe off his fingerprints when he robbed the bank.
Now get in line there. I'll take this gentleman first. What's your name?
Lord Beaverboard.
Where were you sitting when the necklace was stolen?
Well, I...
You lie!
Out!
How long have you known Lady Jennifer?
Well,
you lie!
Gets rid of him fast, don't he?
All right, Sergeant, drag this man out of here. Now, Costello, you're next.
I think there are others ahead of me.
I'm ready to take you now.
But I don't want to be selfish. Women and children first.
Sit down there in the chair.
Just a minute. Who are you shoving? Who are you shoving?
I'm shoving you, and what about it?
I just wanted to be sure.
Now, where was you when the lights went out?
I was...
You lied!
I expected it.
Ouch! Abbott!
What's the matter?
Look what he did.
Did he hurt your head?
No, but he broke my shoelaces.
Now, shut up, you. Now I'm going to question the little boy here.
Oh, no. Not that. You can't question my little brother, Sebastian.
And why not?
There's only one head between us. I'm playing both parts.
Oh, just a moment, officer. There's been a horrible mistake. My pearls weren't stolen at all. They slipped off my neck into my tapioca.
Well, leave them there. You look better wearing tapioca. What happened to Costello?
But wait a minute. There's one thing I can't understand, Costello. Who turned out the lights when you were serving dinner?
I turned them out, Uncle Bud.
Sebastian, why did you turn the lights off?
Because you said you didn't want to see Louis' thumb in the soup.
Sebastian, do you realize what you did? You almost got me arrested, your brother. They might have thrown me in jail. Then I would have to walk around with the pallor of the prison on my noble brow. Why did you do such things to your loving brother, Sebastian?
Oh, I'm a bad boy!
Abbott and Costello will be back in a moment.
Thanks to the Yanks of the Week, tonight we salute Lieutenant Thomas A. McKenzie of Auburn, Kentucky. Fighting off unconsciousness from flak wounds in his chest, this bombardier hero completed his bomb run without even letting his own crewmates know he was wounded. In your honor, Lieutenant McKenzie, the makers of Camels are sending to our fighters overseas 400,000 Camel cigarettes.
Each of the three Camel radio shows honors the Yank of the Week by sending free 400,000 Camel cigarettes overseas, a total of more than 1 million Camels sent free each week. In this country, the Camel caravans traveling from camp to camp have thanked audiences of more than 4 million Yanks with free shows and free Camels. Camel broadcasts go out to the United States 3 times a week, are rebroadcast to our men overseas and to South America. Listen tomorrow to Jimmy Durante and Gary Moore, Monday to Bob Hawke in Thanks to the Yanks, and next Thursday to Abbott and Costello. And now here are Bud Abbott and Lou Costello with a final word.
Well, Costello, now that we've done our show, let's get home and have our turkey, huh?
I think it's a good idea because I'm just about ready for it now.
Did you make the stuffing?
Yeah, I did. I made grand stuffing.
You did, huh?
Yeah, I ground up a lot of breadcrumbs and then I put in some garlic.
Oh, that's
swell. Then I put in a little onions and I put in some more garlic, then a whole lot of onions.
Yeah.
Then a whole lot of garlic, then a whole lot of more onions, then a whole lot of garlic and a whole lot of more onions.
Wait a minute.
And then a little more pinch of garlic.
Wait a minute. Did you taste it?
Taste it? I couldn't even get near it.
Oh. Good night, folks.
Night. Good night, everybody.
Be sure to tune in next week for another great Abbott and Costello show. And remember, try Camels on your throat and your taste. See for yourself how Camels' mildness, coolness, and flavor click with you. The Abbott and Costello Show for Camel Cigarettes will be back at this very same time next week. Don't miss it. This is Ken Niles in Hollywood wishing you all a pleasant good night.
From November 25th of 1943, that's the formal Thanksgiving dinner party from Abbott and Costello. Well, this is the Radio Theater Channel's weekly download, and it's kind of radio, as you know, and radio always has announcements and advertisements, and we're no exception. Listen up.
There's a place online for the great music of the 30s and 40s. It's the music that kept America's spirit up during the Depression. This is the music that soldiers listened to during World War II. This is the music from the golden age of radio. Now it's back. Listen and enjoy the great music of the 30s and 40s now on the RTC Music Channel. RTCMusicChannel.com. I'm checking out Goofa.
And I'd really like to invite you to check out that website and listen to that station, RTCMusicChannel.com. It has the great old-time music that accompanies the radio shows that we play all the time here on the RTC Weekly Download. So great music, goes with great stories. You want to get the whole picture, check out the RTC Music Channel. Well, it's time for our next program, and it's not going to be Jack Benny. We're going to save him for last. But he is kind of related to Jack Benny, the Mel Blanc Show, with a sound man and imitator extraordinaire, Bugs Bunny as well, Mel Blanc. This is the Thanksgiving Day Show from 1946.
Colgate Tooth Powder presents the Mel Blanc Show with Mary Jane Croft, Joe Kearns, Jerry Hausner, Hans Conried, Earl Ross, the sportsman, Victor Miller and his orchestra, and starring the creator of the voice of Bugs Bunny.
What's up, Doc?
Yes, Colgate Tooth Powder for a breath that's sweet and teeth that sparkle brings you the Mel Blanc Show with Mel playing his new character, Zookie.
Hello, everybody. Hi.
And starring himself in person, Mel Blanc.
Hi, folks. Ugga, ugga, boo, ugga, boo, boo, ugga.
Thank you.
It's close to Thanksgiving, and in Mel Blanc's little town, courageous suitors are taking advantage of the holiday spirit to approach prospective fathers-in-law on a delicate subject. In one house where Sam Green has asked Mr. Brown if he may marry his daughter, Mr. Brown is saying,
Sam Green, I'm going to set the date next week.
And in another house where Henry Adams has asked Mr. Jones if he may marry his daughter, Mr. Jones is saying,
Henry Adams, I'm going to make you a junior partner in my firm.
And in the Colby house where Mel Blanc has asked Mr. Colby if he may marry his daughter Betty, Mr. Colby is saying,
Mel Blanc, I'm going to break every bone in your body.
Thanksgiving Eve, and in order to get in Mr. Colby's good graces again, Mel Blanc is holding a Thanksgiving party in his fix-it shop. He has invited a few of his friends for Thanksgiving dinner. Right now, we find Mel and his girl, Betty, setting the table. Knife, plate, fork. Knife, plate, fork. Knife, fork.
Mel, those were the last two plates. Now what'll you do?
Oh, don't worry. Knife, piece of plate, fork. Knife, piece of plate, fork. Gosh, what a beautiful table.
Yes, there's a celery stalk, stuffed olives, candied yams, cranberry sauce, all the fixings.
And in the center, that great big beautiful 15-pound salami.
But Mel, Father will be awfully mad. He's expecting turkey.
Oh, I took care of that. I scooped out the center of the salami and I stuffed it with chestnut dressing. And besides, Betty, what difference does it make? Salami or turkey? It's the spirit of Thanksgiving that counts.
But, Mel...
Anyway, the orphan's home needed the turkey much more than I did.
Oh, darling, I love you for giving the turkey to the orphan's home. You always were a softy for children.
Well, Betty, you know how I feel about us. Someday we'll get married and we'll have a little two-room house.
Yes. Then after a while, we'll add another room.
Betty, I refuse to have your father live with us.
Darling, I mean children. After we get married, there's no reason why we can't have three, four, or five.
Yeah, and if we like them, the next year we'll have some more.
Well, if Dad gets mad at you for not having turkey, I'm going to tell him why.
Oh, that's another thing, Betty. I don't want you to tell your father anything. Don't tell anybody. I did it. I'm glad I did it, but I don't have to advertise it.
Ah, that's the nicest thing I ever heard, darling. For that, I'm going to give you a great big kiss. There. Well, Mel, say something.
Such a kiss for a 15-pound turkey?
Yes.
Gosh, I wish it had been 50 pounds. Well, if it isn't our lodge secretary, Earl Ross. Hey, how you feeling, Brother Ross?
Ah, potato salad.
Oh, yeah, Betty made it. Say, why don't you try some?
Well, just a small plate. I don't want to spoil my appetite. Mmm. Delicious. Pass the olives, Mel. No, not the green ones. The pitch don't agree with me.
Say, why don't you have another sandwich?
No, thanks. I've already had two.
I've already had four, but who's counting? Come on, have another one.
Oh, here comes Father, Mel.
Say, who's that fellow with him?
Oh, that's Willie Murdoch. Father just hired him to manage the supermarket. He's rather nice.
Rather nice? Betty, have you gone out with him?
Well, Father insisted that I go to the movies with him last night.
You and Willie at the movies? Dark places? Betty, why didn't you tell me?
Well, darling, it's Thanksgiving, and I didn't want to upset you. Now, you be nice to him.
Hello, Mel.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, Mr. Colby.
Oh, Mel, I want you to meet my new manager, Willie Murdoch.
Hello, Mr. Murdoch.
Hello, Blank. Heard a lot about you from Mr. Colby. Don't let it get you down.
Willie, this is Mr. Ross, secretary of our Loyal Order of Benevolent Zebras. Mr. Ross is a very good friend of mine.
Oh, well, Mr. Colby, any good friend of yours is a good friend of mine. Pleased to meet you, Mr. Ross.
Pass your mustard.
This is a very nice fix-it shop you got here, Blank, but I've got a couple of ideas to improve it. First of all, it's too stuffy in here.
Well, it could use a little air conditioning.
Blank, you can't condition this air. You got to get rid of it. And next, you take down that picture of the city dump on the wall.
Murdoch, that's no picture. You're looking through the window.
Oh, I see Miss Colby is unattached. Better go over and attach myself. Get it?
Thanksgiving. Why couldn't the Pilgrim Fathers have landed on him?
Oh, Miss Zuki.
Hello, Zuki. Happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, hello, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving. Merry Christmas.
Hello, Zuki.
Oh, hello.
Betty.
Thanks.
Say, how do you like my new dress, Zuki?
Oh, gosh, Betty, you're the most beautiful... you're the quintessence of lovely... you're the acme of...
Oh, by the way, Zuki, I got a letter from my cousin Dottie and a new picture of her. Here, look. Cousin Dottie is so shy and sweet and coy. What do you think of her bathing suit? Zuki, can I get you a little something before dinner? What would you like?
I'd like some potato fish. I'd like some candied egg. Yeah. I'd like that picture of Dottie.
Say, Betty, did you know that Mel invited us here for Thanksgiving dinner and there's no turkey?
Well, you're right, Mr. Colby. Mel invited us for Thanksgiving dinner and there's no turkey.
Why, Thanksgiving isn't Thanksgiving without turkey.
That's exactly my thought, Mr. Colby. Thanksgiving isn't Thanksgiving without turkey.
Huh. This guy can easily be replaced with a sheet of carbon paper.
I tell you, this is preposterous. Turkey, where's Mel?
Oh, he went back to the kitchen.
Oh. Well, I want to talk to him. And Murdoch, Willie, you take care of Betty.
Oh, well, if you say so, Mr. Colby. Anything you say goes, Mr. Colby. I'm your boy, Mr. Colby. You know you can count on me, Mr. Colby.
Mel is in a jam again. I got to go and explain everything. I got to go and warn it. I got to go and tip him off. I got to go.
Use Colgate tooth powder, keep smiling just right. Use it each morning and use it each night. Don't take a chance with your romance. Use Colgate tooth powder.
No dates for you this festive season? Could a breath of trouble be the reason? Maybe, because that breath of trouble, I mean unpleasing breath, has brought unhappiness to thousands. Don't let it mark you down. Just do this. Brush your teeth night and morning and before every date with Colgate tooth powder. For Colgate tooth powder cleans your breath as it cleans your teeth. For Colgate tooth powder cleans your breath as it cleans your teeth. Yes, scientific tests have definitely proved that in 7 cases out of 10, Colgate tooth powder instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. What's more, no dentifrice at any price cleans your teeth more quickly and thoroughly than Colgate tooth powder. Remember to buy it first thing, and remember the name, Colgate tooth powder, with the accent on powder.
Don't take a chance with your romance. Use Colgate tooth powder.
Now, Victor Miller, the sportsman, and their holiday arrangement of Good Night, Ladies.
Good night, ladies, we're gonna lead you now. Merrily we roll along, roll along, roll along. Merrily we roll along o'er the deep blue sea. O'er the deep blue sea. Farewell, ladies.
Goodbye.
So long.
Good night.
Toodaloo.
Farewell, ladies.
Goodbye.
So long.
Good night.
Toodaloo.
Farewell, ladies. we roll along. Merrily, merrily, we roll along. Merrily, merrily, we roll along o'er the deep blue sea. Merrily we roll along, roll along, roll along. Merrily we roll along o'er the deep blue. Merrily we roll along, roll along, roll along. Merrily we roll along o'er the deep. Merrily we roll along, roll along, roll along. Merrily we roll along o'er the. Merrily we roll along, roll along, roll along. Merrily we roll along o'er the deep, deep blue sea.
Mel Blanc is giving a Thanksgiving party in his fix-it shop to get in the good graces of his girl's father, Mr. Colby. But so far, everything is going wrong. Mr. Colby is mad because there's no turkey. Willie Murdoch, the new supermarket manager, is making a play for Mel's girl. Right now, the party is in full swing, but we find Mel disconsolately talking to Betty's kid brother, Tommy, in a corner of the shop.
Boy, is my dad sore at you, Mel.
Yeah, Tommy, and I gave this party just to make an impression on him. What can I do to please your father?
Mel, I know something you can do that'll surely please him.
You do? What is it?
No, you're too young to die. Well, anyway, my papa's mad at you for having salami instead of a turkey at this party.
Yeah, I know.
Mel, why don't you tell my pop you gave the turkey to the orphan's home?
Now, you keep out of this, Tommy. The reason I'm not saying anything is because this year, your father forgot to give them a turkey himself. And if I said anything about it, it would only embarrass him.
Oh.
Oh, Mel, here comes our lodge president, Mr. Cushing.
Oh. Good, I'll go over and welcome him.
Holiday greetings, Brother Blank. Ugga, ugga, boo, ugga, boo, boo, ugga.
Greetings, mighty potentate. Ugga, ugga, boo, ugga, boo, boo, ugga. How are things?
Wonderful. Happiest Thanksgiving I ever had.
Well, where's the wife?
Home in bed with laryngitis. Happiest Thanksgiving I ever had.
Gee, that's too bad. How's she feeling?
Darn that penicillin.
Say, how did she get laryngitis?
Well, Mel, we went to the UCLA-USC football game. Little woman went completely berserk, kept screaming her head off.
She did?
Yeah, it was the first opportunity she ever had to yell at 22 men all at once.
You mean now she can't talk at all?
Not a word. She just lies there in bed and hisses. Empty the garbage pail, shake out the carpet sweeper, clean up the kitchen.
I wish she wouldn't tell me what to do.
I have my own system for doing the housework.
Gosh, Mr. Cushing, it must be tough living with your wife.
Mel, if you only knew. Last night we went out and she said, "Look at me, John, I'm dressed up to kill." Gad, what a temptation. I tell you, Mel, I'd leave that woman in a minute if she didn't have all that money. I don't know why I'm standing here telling you all this. It's just that I've got no one to talk to.
Oh, cheer up, Mr. Cushing. When you get your wife a Christmas present, everything will be okay.
Well, she's already hinted about a present. She wants some beauty aid. Ha!
Now, Mr. Cushing, after all, beauty is only skin deep.
Mel, she's already been peeled. The nerve of that woman. She asked me for a beauty makeup kit.
Well, what are you going to get her?
With her face, a box of Dr. Scholl's foot pads. Nothing helped that woman, Mel.
Well, I have to let you in for another disappointment, mighty potentate. Huh? I haven't any turkey.
What a relief.
You're happy not to see a turkey?
Mel, are you forgetting? I've been looking at my wife all day. Well, on to the party. Oh, I see Brother Colby here. Greetings, Brother Colby. Ugga, ugga, boo, ugga, boo, boo, ugga.
Oh, greetings, mighty potentate. Ugga, ugga, boo, ugga, boo, boo, ugga.
And there's Brother Ross. Greetings, Brother Ross. Ugga, ugga, boo, ugga, boo, boo, ugga.
Ugga, ugga, boo, ugga, boo, boo. Pass us all. Ugga.
And little Tommy. Ugga, ugga, boo, ugga.
All right, Mr. Cushing, all right. Hmm.
Well, I'm sorry. Sort of run away with Margaboo, huh?
All right, come on, everybody. Let's let's all have fun. Does anybody want to hear me impersonate Charles Boyer? All right, I'll sing a song.
Anybody hear the story about the cop in Brooklyn?
Shall I sing now?
You've never heard this story before.
Is it about the cop finding the dead horse on Kosciuszko Avenue?
Uh-huh.
And he can't say Kosciuszko, so he moves the horse to Main Street?
Uh-huh.
Shall I sing now?
No! I'll tell another one, and I know you don't know this story. A fellow was having soup in a restaurant, and he called over the head waiter. "See here, sir," he exclaimed, "there's a fly in this soup." And what do you think the head waiter said?
Did he say, "What do you want for a dime, an elephant?"
Yes, and I wish you'd dropped dead. I'll try one more story now.
All right, everybody quiet now. Mr. Colby's going to try one more story. Go ahead, Mr. Colby. Everybody keep quiet.
Thanks, Murdoch, thanks. Well, it seems a man in a restaurant called the waitress over and said, "My cocoa is cold." "Well," replied the waitress, "if your cocoa is cold, put your hat on it."
Oh, very funny. Very, very funny.
Shall I sing now, Mr. Colby?
Oh, I've had enough from you, Mel Blanc. You've ruined my entire evening.
His entire evening.
Father, let's...
And you've got a nerve inviting people to a Thanksgiving party and not even having any turkey.
Yeah, not having any turkey.
But, Father...
Hey, when do we eat? I'm starved.
That's a good idea. Come on, Father, let's eat.
No, all right.
Okay, everybody, sit down now.
This is fine. Fine Thanksgiving.
This food looks wonderful.
Yes, no home cooking.
Well, everybody seated?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay. I'll carve the salami. Who wants a leg?
I do.
I do.
I do.
Everybody wants a leg. I should have gotten an octopus.
I'd rather have turkey.
Colby, will you stop? Everyone knows salami is much safer than turkey.
Safer?
Yes, no bones.
Oh.
Well, Tommy, what part do you want?
I want the part that goes over the counter last.
And how about you, Brother Ross?
Well, I don't know. I'm losing my appetite. Just give me the dark meat.
The salami is all dark meat.
That's what I said. Just give me the dark meat.
Oh, Murdoch.
Huh?
What part do you want?
I always let Mr. Colby choose first.
All right, Mr. Colby, what part would you like?
Oh, this has gone too far. I refuse to sit here and be made a fool of.
Oh, but Mr. Colby...
Well, this can't go on any longer. I'm going to tell Father.
Betty, please.
Huh? Tell me why.
Why we haven't any turkey tonight.
Oh, come in.
Is Mr. Blank here?
I'm Mel Blank, little boy.
Mr. Blank, I'm from the orphan's home. I brought you a piece of your turkey.
You did?
Yes. It tasted so good, all the boys wanted you to have some. They wanted me to tell you how much they appreciated you remembering them on Thanksgiving Day.
Gee, thanks.
They also asked me to give a message from all the boys at the home. Do you mind if I give it?
No, go ahead.
2, 4, 6, 8, who do we appreciate? Mel Blanc, hooray!
Thanks a lot.
So long, Mr. Blank.
So long.
Oh, gee, wasn't that sweet?
Mel, you gave your turkey to the orphanage? Oh, why didn't you tell us about it?
Well, you're right again, Mr. Colby. Mel Blanc, why didn't you tell...
Oh, shut up!
Well, Mel, he didn't want to tell you because you forgot to give your turkey this year.
What? Why, I always give a turkey to the orphanage. In fact, I told Willie Murdoch... Murdoch, didn't you deliver that
Mr. Colby, it slipped my mind.
Oh, it did. Murdoch, come here. I'm going to break every bone in your body.
Quiet, everybody. Mr. Colby's going to break every bone in his body. Gee, it sounds good on somebody else. Oh, forget it, Mr. Colby. It's Thanksgiving. Let's forgive.
Yes, you're right, Mel.
Yeah, let's forgive and let's eat.
All right, here. Sit next to me, Mel, my son.
Thanks, Pop.
Nothing like the smell of salami on Thanksgiving.
You see, Betty, it's like I said. What difference does it make, salami or turkey? It's the spirit of Thanksgiving that counts. This is Mel Blanc saying Happy Thanksgiving, and that's all, folks.
This is Bud Houston reminding you that Colgate tooth powder for a breath of sweet and teeth of sparkle brings you the Mel Blanc Show every Tuesday at this time.
Be sure and join us again next Tuesday night for more fun with Mel and the people you'll meet in Mel Blanc's Fix-It Shop.
Say hello to Halo Shampoo for naturally bright and beautiful hair. Remember, even finest soaps and soap shampoos hide the natural luster of your hair with dulling soap film. But Halo Shampoo contains no soap, therefore leaves no dulling soap film. Even in hardest water, Halo makes oceans of rich, fragrant lather, quickly banishes loose dandruff and dirt. Halo needs no lemon or vinegar rinse. Say hello to Halo and goodbye to dulling soap film. Get Halo Shampoo at any cosmetic counter.
Remember, Mel Blanc every Tuesday night at this time. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Ugga, ugga, boo, ugga, boo, boo, ugga. The Mel Blanc Show and a big Thanksgiving Day program there. Well, we're going to have the Jack Benny Show. That's, I guess, is the moment that many of you have been waiting for, but you'll have to wait for one more minute.
The Radio Book Channel features the stories of today with the classics of literature, great science fiction, romance, histories, podcasts from Icebox Radio, the American Radio Theater, and 19 Nocturne Boulevard. Throw in some classic radio from NBC University Theater, Lux Radio Theater, Sherlock Holmes, Gunsmoke, and Information Please. And you get the idea. It's the best of today and yesterday on the Radio Book Channel. Go to theradiobookchannel.com. There's a world of ideas in books. Books are on the Radio Book Channel.
Well, where would radio be without commercials? The Radio Book Channel is the place to go check out audio books and audio podcasts and things like that. It's pretty interesting. Check out the Radio Book Channel at www.radiobookchannel.com. Now, the Jack Benny Show and Thanksgiving Day dinner.
The Jell-O program brought to you by Jell-O and Jell-O Pudding, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. The orchestra opens the program with One on the House. The biggest dessert news in years. That's what folks everywhere are calling Jell-O's new locked-in flavor. Never has Jell-O tasted so rich and delicious. Today, it's even better than ever, and all because of a wonderful new process that locks in all of Jell-O's grand flavor, keeps it from fading, keeps it at full strength till the moment you use it. Today, Jell-O's vivid original goodness is locked right into the tiny Jell-O particles, where time can't touch it. It's protected against fading or changing in any way, and it comes out of the package just as rich and full-flavored as it went in. Prove it for yourself. Open a package of Jell-O. Notice that there's no heavy fruity aroma, no sign of escaping flavor. But when you dissolve the Jell-O, you unlock its captive goodness. And out it pours for your pleasure. So order Jell-O tomorrow. Look for the big red letters on the box. And be sure to get Jell-O. The flavor never goes away. We put it in and it's there to stay. One on the House, played by the orchestra. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we would like to take you back 3 days and show you how Jack Benny entertained the gang on Thanksgiving. The time, 2 p.m. last Thursday. The scene, the kitchen of Jack's home in Beverly Hills, where we find Jack, Mary, and Rochester preparing the dinner. Take it away.
Now, what else? Oh, yes. Rochester, hand me those little plates there, will you?
Here you are, boss.
Let's see. A black one for Phil, a green one for Alice, a black one for Don, a green one for Mrs. Wilson, a black one for Mary.
Say, Jack, make mine a green one. I don't like ripe olives.
All right, I'll switch you and Don. There.
I'm hungry. I think I'll eat mine now.
Drop that. I don't want you to spoil your appetite. You know, we're having wild duck for our Thanksgiving dinner.
No Chip eat this year, eh?
Not unless we run short. Rochester, what are you putting in that dressing?
I thought a dash of gin would snap it up a little.
What? Who ever heard of putting gin in dressing?
On Central Avenue is a must.
Well, Well, I don't want it in this dressing. And put that gin back in the first aid kit. Oh, Mary, take a look in the oven and see how the ducks are coming along.
Okay.
What was that?
They're not quite done yet.
Now, look, that noise came from some live ducks I've got in the basement. These ducks here should be done by now. What time did we put them in the oven, Rochester?
About 10 o'clock last night.
Let's see, that's 16 hours. They're done all right. They sure look tender, don't they, Mary?
Tender? The middle one looks like Humphrey Bogart.
What an imagination. Now, Rochester, take each duck and stuff the dressing in it.
I ain't gonna touch old Humphrey.
Cut that out. Now, get busy and stuff those ducks.
Okay, where's the shoehorn?
You don't need a shoehorn. Now, let's see, a green olive for me, a black one for...
Say, Jack, why don't you give those olives a little company and put some celery on the plate?
Celery? Okay. Open the icebox and get some.
I don't know the combination.
It's 45 right, 23 back, and 10 right. That's it.
Can I borrow your pencil, boss?
Don't bother writing it down. I'm changing it tomorrow. Now, where was I? Oh, yes, a green one for me, a black one for Billy Gibbs. That must be Dennis. Open the back door for him, Rochester.
Yes, sir.
Send that kid on an errand. He'd take all day.
Where'd he go, Jack?
Over to Ronald Coleman's to borrow something.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You're always borrowing from Mr. Coleman.
That works both ways, Mary. Within the last year, he's borrowed over a dozen of my best eggs.
Your eggs?
Yes.
His chickens laid them in your garage.
That doesn't make any difference. That's the same thing as the grapefruit near the fence. What hangs over is mine. Even Coleman's lawyer admits that.
Well, don't ever hang your head over the fence or Coleman will pick your toupee.
Ha, 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 I'm screaming.
Here's the punch bowl you wanted, Mr. Benny.
What is that?
Here's the punch bowl you wanted.
Thanks, kid. And what have you got in that bag?
Some corn. Mr. Coleman said, please feed it to his chicken.
I've been feeding him plenty. Now, Dennis, the gang will be here pretty soon, so rub some of this burnt cork on your face.
Okay.
Burnt cork. What's that for?
Dennis is going to help serve dinner tonight. It's an emergency. I hired Rochester's brother, and he didn't show up. What happened to him, Rochester?
I was wrong, boss. He got 60 days instead of 30.
Oh, well, I can use them New Year's Eve. Now, Dennis, Rochester will be busy here in the kitchen, so it'll be your job to... Whoop, there's the front door. Now, here's your chance to practice. See you at the door, Sylvester.
I'll go, Mr. Benny. I'll go.
Hey, that's all right.
That boy does the worst black face I ever heard.
Not so easy. I'd like to hear you do Irish sometime. Come on, Mary. We'll sit in the music room until the gang gets here.
A jukebox and an old fiddle, and you call it a music room.
Don't run down that jukebox, Mary. And incidentally, I wish you'd stop playing it with lifesavers. You've got it all sticky.
Mr. and Mrs. Wilson are here, Master Colonel Benny.
Don't overdo it. Well, hello, Don, Peggy. Welcome to the Chateau Benny.
Oh, hello, Jack. Hello, Mary. Happy Thanksgiving, sir.
Well, you're looking fine, Peggy. Take Mrs. Wilson's coat, Sylvester.
Yeah, yep, yep, yep.
I wish he'd hold it down a little.
Well, two servants tonight. Kind of putting on the dog, eh, Jack?
Well, it's a big party. Gee, Peggy, I'm sure glad you and Don were able to come to dinner today.
Yes, I am, too. Don's been gaining weight again, and I'm so happy he's someplace where he can't overeat.
good. Well, I hate to disappoint you, Peggy, but there's going to be plenty of food on that table.
Yes, and I love chipped beef.
We're having wild duck. Now, let's have a little music while we're waiting. Mary, put a nickel in the jukebox.
I've only got one. I'm saving it for the apple machine.
All right, I'll put one in. That is, if I've...
Here's a nickel, Jack.
Thanks. Say, here's one of Phil's records, Chattanooga Choo Choo. He sings a chorus on this one. Very cute, too. Wait till you hear it.
Pardon me, boy, is that the Chattanooga choo-choo? Track 29, then you can give me a shine. I can afford to pull the Chattanooga choo-choo. I've got my fare and just an inkling to spare.
You leave old Pennsylvania Station about a quarter to four. Read the magazine, the menu in Baltimore. Dinner on the diner, nothing could be finer than to have your ham and egg in Carolina. When you hear the whistle blow at 8 to the bar, then you know that Tennessee is not very far. Hurry up and call in, gotta get a rolling. Hoo-hoo, Chattanooga, there you are. There's gonna be a certain party at the station. Fasten and late. I used to call Bunny Faye. She's gonna cry until I tell her that'll never wrong. Ooh, Chattanooga choo-choo, won't you choo-choo me home? There's gonna be a certain party at the station. Fasten and late. I used to call my bunny, honey, funny fish. She's gonna cry until I tell her that I'll never roam. So Chattanooga choo-choo, hooey, hooey. Chattanooga choo-choo, hooey, hooey. Chattanooga choo-choo, won't you choo-choo me home?
Isn't Phil a ham? He even puts applause on the record. That was a good number, though.
Yes, indeed.
By the way, Peggy, I don't believe you've been in my music room before, have you?
No, I haven't, Jack. And you've got some lovely old pieces here. Who furnished it? Harry Hawkshop.
I only got the melodeon there. You know, Peggy, if you look around, you can get some of the...
Uh-oh, here comes your boarder.
Yeah. I wonder what happened to him. His arm's in a sling. Oh, good afternoon, Mr. Billingsley.
Hello, Mr. Benny. Having company for dinner, I see.
Yes, yes, the others will be here pretty soon. Won't you have a seat?
Oh, thanks. I never touch them.
By the way, Mr. Billingsley, I noticed your arm's in a sling. How did you happen to break it?
I was putting on my long underwear this morning, and I fell off the ladder.
Oh, well, why do you have to climb a ladder to put on your underwear?
When I say long, I mean long.
Oh. Oh, I see. Won't you join us for dinner, Mr. Billingsley? We're having wild duck.
No, I'll have a glass of dressing later. Good night.
Getting more eccentric every day.
But
who else would pay me $800 a week for room and board? An amazing character, though.
Mr. Bennett, can I speak to you confidentially? It's very important.
Oh, now what? Excuse me, folks. What is it, Rochester?
Boss, those ducks ain't never gonna get tender.
Why? What happened?
I just took a fork in one of them and it gets gravy all over me.
Now, that's ridiculous. It probably slid in the pan. That's all.
You may be right, boss, but I don't think it would hurt to shoot them just once more.
Don't you dare. I shot those ducks. All you got to do is cook them. I want dinner served as soon as Mr. and Mrs. Harris arrive.
But, boss...
Now get back to the kitchen. Dum-ding-bum-bum-ba-ding-ba-bum-dum-dee-dum-dum-da-ding-da-dum-dum. Oh, sorry, folks.
What's the matter, Jack?
Oh, Rochester's having a little trouble with the ducks. It seems... Well, everything will be all right now. Yes, sir.
Jack, what was that noise? It sounded like a gunshot.
How do I know? Well, folks, just as soon as every... There's someone at the door, Sylvester. Sylvester, answer the door.
That's Doe, boss.
All right, answer the door. And don't shuffle, just walk. Say, Don, would you like a cocktail before dinner? Eh, Don?
Definitely no.
Well, I can see who wears the pants in that family.
With Don's, there's room for both of them.
You said it.
Announcing Mr. and Mrs. Phil Harris.
Phil!
Hiya, Jackson.
And Hello. Alan. Well, Alice, I'm sure happy you were able to come to dinner.
Oh, I wouldn't have missed it for anything, Jackson.
Jackson. She calls me Jackson. You know everybody here, don't you, Alice?
Hello, Alice.
Oh, why, Peggy, I haven't seen you since our trip to New York.
And Alice, you know Mary Livingston.
Oh, why, of course I do. Hello, Mary. So nice seeing you again.
Hello.
Hello. That's a fine greeting.
Who cares how many fan clubs she's got?
Mary, don't pay any attention to her, Alice. You see, Mary is always jealous of any girl that shines up to me.
Well, who's shining up to you?
Well, I mean...
Explain that, Jackson.
Don't get excited, Phil. Now, look, fellas, let's not have a brawl. I don't want duck stains all over the furniture. Well, this is the first time you've ever been to my house, isn't it, Alice?
Yes, and I think it's furnished in very good taste. What did you mean, Phil, I should wear my old clothes?
Why, Phil, you little rascal. Say, Mary, call up Luella Parsons and tell her Alice Faye is visiting me.
She'll never believe it.
She will, too. And call Harrison Carroll.
Say, Phil, I want to congratulate you on your performance last night in the courtship of Miles Standish.
Yeah, it's the best play our night you'll ever put on, Don. Oh, yes, Phil, you were excellent as Priscilla. But as long as you were playing the part of a girl, why didn't you shave before you went out on the stage?
I didn't want people to think I was on the level.
Well, it spoiled it a little for me. By the way, Phil... use the ashtray, Peggy. These rugs are expensive. By the way, Phil... That's a girl. By the way, Phil... Phil, did you get those flowers I sent you before the performance?
Oh, yeah. Thanks for the Christmas anthem.
Christmas anthem.
Phil, I told you last night it's one word, chrysanthemum.
Oh, lay off, honey. I don't want no lecture on Thanksgiving.
Behave yourself, Phil, or I won't read that book to you anymore.
What book are you reading, Bill Malice?
Oh, you know, Jack. A is for apple, so round and red. B is for butter. You spread it on bread.
What? Are you kidding?
C is for crackers. You eat them in bed. I know them all.
See, you'll be up to the Rover boys pretty soon. Well, I don't know about you folks, but I'm going to have a cocktail before dinner.
Oh, don't, Jack. You always act so silly.
I do not.
One cocktail and it's... Look, fellas, I'm a Spanish dancer.
Oh.
A Spanish dancer?
By that time, he's wearing a lampshade.
Well, someone's got to put a little life in a party around this town. Oh, Sylvester.
Yeah, the Yaga boss.
Go out in the kitchen and tell Rochester we're ready for dinner.
I have a plan. Hold that bar. Lift that bed.
Oh, shut up. Well, Alice, I hope you're good and hungry. I'm on a diet myself. You see, I have to be on account of the new picture I'm making.
I knew he'd get around to that.
Quiet. See, I'm working opposite Carol Lombard, and I must look my best.
Well, Jack, I've seen you in pictures before, and as I recall, you always look very nice.
Yes, I imagine I do, but of course, I look much younger on the screen.
Oh, much, much, much.
Mary. You know, Alice, now that we're both at 20th Century Fox, maybe you and I will be working together soon.
Who knows? I think we'd make a swell team.
Yes, you with your youth and beauty, and me with my suave, debonair charm.
You're right, Phil. He is hammy.
You know, Alice, the next time I see Mr. Zanuck...
Dinner is served, folks. Walk. Do not run to the dining room.
Oh, boy. Oh, this way.
Now, Don, you take Alice. Phil, you take Peggy. And Mary... Oh, Mary, call up Hedda Hopper and Jimmy Starr and Herb Stein. Tell them that Alice Faye's having dinner with me today.
Okay.
And call Sidney Skalski, too.
Skalski?
Yes.
Who's going to boost him up to the telephone?
He's got a ladder like Billingsley. All right, everybody, grab your seat and take your time now. There's plenty for all. Come on. Boy, what a dinner.
Say, this dressing is delicious, Jack.
I'm glad you like it. Oh, Rochester, serve Mrs. Harris some more duck. Will you have another piece of duck, Ella?
No, thanks. I'm still chewing on my first piece.
Well, you've got beautiful teeth. Use them. I think the duck is very tasty, don't you, Mary?
Yeah, but the next time you go out shooting, be more careful. Mine's full of buckshot.
Mary, that's what that bowl is for. Dump the buckshot in the bowl.
Oh.
That's it. Personally, I think this is the finest meal.
Pass me that bowl, will you, Mary?
Here you are, Phil.
Thanks.
Well, I really banged away at that one, didn't I? But I still say this is a lovely dinner.
Yeah, everything from soup to lead.
Never mind, and have another cranberry.
One cranberry? You're supposed to have cranberry sauce.
Well, squash it. Are you helpless? What's the matter with you, anyway? Oh, Rochester.
Yes, boss?
Bring me a sharper knife. I got Humphrey. Say, Alice, I have a real treat for you. After dinner, I'll take you downstairs and show you Carmichael, my polar bear.
Oh, that's swell. I love animals.
You do? Have you got any pets, Alice?
Oh, just Phil, my little reformed wolf.
Good. Yes, sir. Some more dressing, Don?
No, thanks. By the way, Jack, where's Dennis? Didn't you invite him to dinner?
Yes, I wonder what happened to the kid.
Me too.
Mary, don't give it away. Oh, Sylvester, have we heard from Mr. Day?
Yeah, he phoned and left word that he was having dinner with Miss Hetty Lamar.
Hetty Lamar?
That boy sure gets around, don't he?
All right, Sylvester, stop leaning on the table and get busy. Enjoying the food, Peggy?
Oh, it's fine, Jack. And the dressing's delicious. What's in it?
I really don't know. Oh, Rochester?
Yes, boss?
What's in this dressing?
What ain't?
He's like all good chefs, Peggy. Just won't give away his secrets. Get another bowl, Rochester. This one's full. Everything all right, Alice?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've never been to such a novel dinner party. Imagine, Phil, I got a prize in my dressing.
A prize?
Uh-huh. Look, a shoehorn.
That is a novelty, isn't it?
I got a Red Cross button in mine.
Well, hand it over. I joined yesterday. It reminds me everybody should, especially this year. Rochester, I think we'll have our dessert and coffee in the music room.
Okay, boy.
That is if everybody's had enough duck. Come on. Let's go in the music room.
What are we having for dessert, Jack?
What do you think?
I'll bet $1,000 it's Jell-O with that new locked-in flavor.
You win, Don. The flavor never goes away.
They put it in and it's there to stay.
Say, let's have some entertainment while we're waiting for the coffee.
Yeah, what do we do?
Well, we can... Oh, I know. Hey, look at me, fellas.
Jack, take that bowl of fruit off your head. You don't look anything like Carmen Miranda.
Well, somebody's got to entertain.
Well, what about Alice singing a song for us?
Yeah, what about it, Alice?
Come on, Alice. Come on. Alice. Come on.
Come on. You hear that, Alice? Will you sing for us?
Wait till I finish chewing this duck, huh?
All right. Now, I'll tell you what. If you sing, I'll accompany you on the violin.
No, Jack. No, not that. Oh.
All right. Come on, Alice. What's that song? Alice, what's that song you did in your new picture, Weekend in Havana?
You mean Tropical Magic?
Yeah, that's it. You think Tropical Magic, and I'll pull rabbits out of a hat. Quiet, everybody. Alice is going to sing.
Tropical magic, strange fascination, moon of temptation, deep black velvet sky. Tropical magic, lost in your splendor, love will surrender to a passionate sigh. Whispering sad out of a midnight with the manana, but never goodbye. Music is playing tropical magic. You'll have me saying adios to my heart. Whispering shadows mañana, but never goodbye. Music is playing tropical magic. You'll have me saying adios to my heart. Adios to my heart.
Well, anyway, folks, that's just about what happened to Jack's house last Thursday. Alice sang her song, and then we all played games and had a swell time. And just as we were leaving, we could hear Rochester calling back.
Benny! Mr. Benny!
What is it, Rochester?
What'll I do with all this duff that's left over?
Well, we can have it tomorrow night.
What about the mashed potatoes and all this...
Very tasty.
Okay.
Make a pie out of them. Cranberry pie is delicious, you know.
Okay. Oh, say, boss.
What?
I think we ought to turn this buckshot over to the government for national defense.
That's a very good idea. It's early yet, so I'm going out to see a movie.
Is that still playing around?
I don't mean Charlie Dan. See you later.
Good night, boss.
Good night, Rochester.
One of Mary Livingston's favorite jello desserts is a swell treat called Peach and Banana Mold. Because I think you like it too, I'm going to pass it right along. It's an easy recipe to remember. Its main ingredients are canned sliced peaches, sliced bananas, and lime jello. And you combine them like this. Make up one package of lime jello as you usually do. Next, arrange 1/2 cup of canned sliced peaches on the bottom of the mold and pour the jello over them. Then slice 1 banana into the jello and chill until firm. When you unmold it, you'll have a beautiful 3-layer dessert. Golden peach slices on top, sliced bananas embedded on the bottom, and in between them and surrounding them, clear, glistening emerald lime jello. Many grocers are featuring canned sliced peaches and lime jello all next week. Get both and make up this grand treat. Just be sure when you buy to ask for jello. Because Jell-O's new locked-in flavor gives you all the flavor, always.
This is the last number of the 8th program in the current Jell-O series, and we'll be with you again next Sunday at the same time. Well, Alice, it was awfully sweet of you to come over tonight and show the folks what happened last Thursday, and your song was really wonderful.
Oh, thanks, Jackson.
Jackson. She called me Jackson. Good night, folks.
Program tonight, returning to 20th Century Fox Pictures.
In gelatin desserts, it's Jell-O. In puddings, it's Jell-O pudding. And every well-stocked pantry should include them both. Jell-O puddings are rich, luscious desserts that you make with milk. And they come in 3 popular flavors, chocolate, vanilla, and butterscotch. Jell-O chocolate pudding is a pudding that even Grandma would be proud to make. It has a smooth, creamy, homemade goodness all its own. A mellow chocolate flavor developed exclusively for Jell-O puddings by the famous Walter Baker chocolate people. Tomorrow, when you order Jell-O, ask for Jell-O puddings. They're just like Grandma's, only more so. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
KFI, Los Angeles.
We're tuning in there on history, November 23rd, 1941, at KFI Los Angeles for the Jack Benny Show. And Thanksgiving Day dinner. Well, that's it for this week. We hope you can join us for our next program as we go into the Christmas season with some great old-time radio memories for you, you, and even you way over there in the corner. Why don't you join us for the next episode of the RTC Weekly Download.